chairman of it.
Hello? Nothing? Oh, this ought to be fun. It's on. Is everything turned? I wonder if somebody messed with something back there. The green light's on. Jack's gonna go look. Nobody really, we don't think anybody touched anything, but. Hello? Hello? Nothing. No. We have nothing. Hang on. Hello? Hello? Yeah. All right. So, I will use this voice then this morning for a little bit, and hopefully we'll get things working at some point this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to First Congregational Church here in Westfield. Whoever you are and wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. We have but a few announcements this morning. First of all, congratulations on getting here and on time. You all turned your clocks ahead. You managed to get up and to get here. And a special congratulations to the choir, who got here probably at what we thought was 6:30 or something. So, yeah. So they did great. Ah, there we go. Something came on. Thanks, Jack. Did you hear that? They just rebooted it. Sometimes if you turn it off and turn it on, you can get things to work. So, what will happen is this. This week coming, this Saturday, is our corned beef dinner. If you would like to reserve your place at the corned beef dinner, please see Cindy. I'm sure by Wednesday or Thursday, we need to have a cutoff time on that. The other thing is this. We still need helpers. So, if you're someone who can assist with setup, peeling potatoes, everybody's favorite task. Any of those things, please see Cindy. And after church, she'll be out there. There's some sign-up sheets there. But if you go out that way and you're waiting coffee hour, we can take care of getting things set up. Monday morning, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we will have the Chosen. So we'd like to view that with us. You're welcome to come at 10 o'clock. We kind of started over. So, we're going to look at episode 2 again tomorrow. And then when I come back, we'll have it some more. We'll start up again. I believe, let's see, if tomorrow is the 9th, March 23rd. All right, I should be back up and running. So, I am told. Are there any other, oh, I know that, Jen and Janet have some announcements that they'd like to share this morning. So, any way you want.
Hello. I am making an announcement on behalf of the World Services Committee for the Westfield Food Pantry. Their food needs this month are oatmeal and other breakfast cereals. And if you just want to bring that in and drop it off at the collection point, which is out in the hallway. And thank you to those who consistently donate. It is really appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. We're going to have to play with that microphone, Deb, because it's wrapped. The cord's wrapped around it there. We're in Janet. We'll do it. Janet does everything, so.
Yeah, but not always very well.
Happy announcements. The 11th of April, I think it's the 11th of April, Michelle?
It is.
Yes. Ice hockey.
Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds, yes. And please come. It's so much fun. We always have a large group of Westfield First Congregational Church people that come and enjoy it together. It's a blast. And you'll be seeing more information about it, but sign up. and come and enjoy it with us. And the other thing that we really, really, I really hope you can come and enjoy is tonight at 4:30 is our drumming workshop, and it's all about let the light shine in. And so I'm expecting this great ray of light that shows up just in time to come to the drumming workshop. It's so much fun. You don't need to know anything about drums to come. We got Mike Weiner as our ringer, who makes sure that everything stays together. And join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. I know that I have. What did I do here?
I know that I have a few other announcements that came to me. This afternoon, the Tuesday Morning Music Club Junior Extension will be here, and there's a great program that is being offered. So if you would like to come to that, I believe that starts at 2 o'clock. I believe that's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Next Sunday at Second Congregational Church, we have the Greater Westfield Choral Association. There's some guy that conducts it, and there's a few other people that we might know. Raise your hands if you're singing or doing anything with the Greater Westfield Choral Association. I know Alan's even going to play, he raised his hand. So a large number, almost everyone in our choir is involved with this, and Mark Weiner is conducting. So that will be out at Second Congregational Church. Tickets can be purchased at the door. I believe the concert begins at 3. So I'm really sad because I wanted to sing with them this year. I can't. So, all right. Are there any other announcements? That went on a little long, but important. Let's take a deep breath in. And let us worship God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your printed in your worship guide. Worship God with joy and thanksgiving. We are the sheep of God's pasture.
We are the lambs of God's flock.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Now please join me in the opening hymn, Lord Who Thought These 40 Days, in blue hymnal number 214.
Thank you.
this time, I invite you to join with me in the prayer of confession is found in your worship guide. Wellspring of salvation, quench our thirst this day. When our souls are parched, we long to taste the healing waters of your grace. When our spirits are as dry as desert sands, we yearn to find renewal in the well of your mercy and your love. Shower us in your living water, that we may be washed clean in the river of your forgiveness and your grace. Hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Those whose souls drink of Christ's living water will never thirst again. Those who refresh themselves in Christ will have a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Our sins are forgiven.
This morning's scripture reading is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for this people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massa and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Our God is still speaking. Please join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to God with psalms.
For you, O Lord, are a great God, and great sovereign above all gods.
In your hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are yours also.
The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us bow down, bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For you are our God, and we are the people of your pasture, and the sheep of your hand. Oh, that today we would hearken to your voice.
Harden not your hearts as your forebears did in the wilderness at Meribah and on that day at Massa when they tempted me.
They put me to test, our ability to my works.
40 years long I detested that generation and said, "This people are wayward in their hearts. They do not know my ways."
I swore in my wrath, "They shall not enter into my rest."
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, where I shall begin with the fifth verse. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For the Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and the truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking to her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him some food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." "Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and a harvest, a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Some people here have spent time in a car with children. Or you are young enough to remember being in a car with your parents or your grandparents. What are some of the things that happen with children in a car, particularly on a long drive? So don't say them out loud yet, you're going to have a chance. But I want you to take 10 seconds and think about some of these wonderful things or things that you may have said. And then what I'd ask you to do is to turn and share some of that with someone. And you have exactly 2 minutes. Begin. How are we doing out there? Did we get off topic yet? Still going? So Gwen shared a few things with me that I hadn't thought about. Number one, I have not spent a lot of time in a car with children. I haven't. I never had any. God knew what he was doing. I spent a lot of time in the classroom with them, ranging in age from mostly grade 6 to grade 12, but I did not have to go into a car. Bus rides? Yes. A bus to Washington, D.C.? Yes. Where I discovered that the thing that I said more than anything else, and I think I learned this from my mother, was, because it was done through clenched teeth, because one of the other teachers imitated me. So help me God! So I would stand up and face them, and then the bus would go silent. Eighth graders, no less. The look on my face must have said, enough. But what are some, Gwen told me, like, she got more chips than I did. I don't remember having, I don't think my parents gave us food. I think they eliminated that. What else? I have to go to the bathroom. What's the number one question that you used to get? Come on.
How much longer?
How much longer, or are we there yet? Those questions were always there and always very present. Are we there yet? And it's not nicely. Mom, are we there yet? No, it's on, are we there yet? Something like this whole whining thing that comes with it. And am I missing any good ones?
He's touching Harvey.
He's touching me. Oh yeah. We did that when we used to draw lines in the seats. Yeah. This is my spot right here. When you're one of six, you didn't get a whole lot of space. And you didn't get a whole lot of room in the car, so you kind of had to make your own and do the best and hope for the best. It never worked. It never worked. He's touching me. Now, let me see if I can switch microphones. I was going to actually come around to you, but that didn't happen. What I noticed as I read through the Old Testament reading was that the Hebrew people sounded a lot like the kids in the car. When are we going to get some water? And I'm sure that they asked as they were wandering through the desert for 40 years, are we there yet? They had to have. Yeah, they were whining. They were questioning. But it was necessary. Not the whining, but the water. The water was very necessary for them. Here's a few things you need to understand. Water was not plentiful, especially in a desert or in a dry climate. There wasn't a lot of rain. There was no snow. We are still looking at snow. We are still looking at a lot of water. But they were not. Water was a precious commodity for them. And they needed to have it. They thought for sure that they were going to die because they didn't have enough water to survive, to hydrate their body. So they needed to be physically hydrated. Now, physically hydrated is an important phrase for you to remember, because we're going to compare it to something else in a little bit. So they needed to be physically hydrated. Whining? Yes. A worthwhile whine, if you will? Yes. I believe so anyway. Fast forward a few centuries, maybe even 1,000 years, 1500, we can't quite pinpoint it. But they're still having the same issues with water. Water was not plentiful in the time of Jesus. Sure, you had seas, but it was salt water. Couldn't do much with that, except sail on it, fish. Couldn't drink it. Water wasn't around. You have to remember and try to, I know you've heard me talk about this before, but the towns and the villages were set up where certain things were held in common. There was a common well for each town or village. There were common ovens. The women did not cook at home, or at least not bake anything. They couldn't make bread. They had to go to the common ovens in the village in order to do this. Homes were small. We've been watching The Chosen, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking, these houses are way too big. These people have home, we're sitting and we're doing this. No, they weren't that big. Most homes were about the size of a bedroom in our houses today. Total house. A smaller bedroom, not the primary bedroom that you see, these massive things you see on HGTV. But a smaller bedroom. That was it, because mostly you slept there. You might have eaten there. But they also utilized the roofs of the houses. They slept upstairs sometimes when it's too hot to sleep inside. Jesus is at the well. He's thirsty. Human Jesus, thirsty. Needs to get a drink. Doesn't have the right tools to do it. Because men didn't carry those tools. Whose job is it to get the water? The women. Not even the children. The children couldn't be trusted because they dropped the jar, they would spill the water, when they dropped the jar, it would break, and they would lose all of that. So it was an adult female job to do it, or as soon as you could be trusted to carry that water home, back to the house. It was usually kept outside. Jesus gets to the well. He's thirsty. Where are they? They're somewhere in Samaria. Air map time. Up here, Galilee. Down here, Jerusalem. Over here, sort of in the middle, Samaria. All right. They would have to travel. Sometimes they'd have to cross through. If they were up in Galilee, up in the Nazareth area, or near Tiberias, or, gosh, the town name just escapes me. But anyway, up north, they wanted to go south. They were traveling south to Jerusalem. They'd have to travel through Samaria. Who remembers why? I feel like I'm in school. Who remembers why, what the issue was with Samaritans? Do you remember? The Samaritans had the audacity to build their own temple. The horrors. Because they built their own temple up on the hill, and the Samaritan woman makes reference to that in the reading, they didn't make the annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So it sets up, and you've heard me say this before, an almost Hatfield and McCoy situation. Remember, we've talked about the Pharisees who made sure that they followed the rules. Well, the Pharisees told them, don't pay attention to these Samaritans anymore. And what it did was it turned into not only shunning, but almost a hatred of the Samaritans. No one spoke to them. So when you hear the parable of the good Samaritan, how could there be any good Samaritans? So here's Jesus in the village. Let's go back to that. Jesus is in the village. He's at the well. He's with the Samaritan woman. Men didn't speak to women in public. Certainly not strange women who were there without their husbands. It wasn't done. So that should be ringing a bell in your head when you see this story in the Gospels. Number two, she was a Samaritan. The horrors. He was speaking to a Samaritan. How could you do this? When his disciples came upon him, they were like, what the heck? What are you doing? Jesus. But they didn't say anything. They were smart enough not to say anything. What's Jesus looking for? He's looking for water. What's the Samaritan woman looking for? She's really looking for answers. She, like all people of the Jewish faith, whether they were Samaritans or not, were waiting for the Messiah. So, when Jesus says to her, I have living water, I'm in. I'm the Messiah. Stop looking. You found him. I give you living. Give me this water every day. Give me this living water always. ...2026... Westfield, Massachusetts. Here we are. We're still searching. We're still looking. We still want the living water. It's accessible to us. It's right here. It's there in the scriptures. It's there in our hearts. It's there in our minds. It's there for the taking. Do we always take it? No. Do we forget sometimes that it's even available to us? Yep. I know this because I'm right there with you. And I use the pronoun we and us with purpose. I use those words with purpose. We have to choose.
whether we're going to drink of that living water. We have to choose to accept that. We have to still choose, 2,000 years later, we still have to choose whether we accept Jesus as the Messiah, as the chosen one, as the Son of God. As we look to Easter, to the resurrection event, in the season of Lent, we have time to reflect on that. Do we choose to do that? My hope and my prayer for all of us is that we can overcome any obstacles. We can overcome what we've been taught on some other levels, socially perhaps, and that we can make the choice to accept Jesus as the Son of God, the risen Christ as the Messiah, to drink of that living water, and to do what we can to make sure that others have the same opportunity. How we spread that message out. But you know what? For today, I want you to worry about you. I want you to worry about me. I want us to worry about us. I used to tell the kids that's a full-time job. Don't worry about what they're doing. But today, really too, for a little while, I want you to spiritually look at us individually. Do we accept the living water? Do I accept the living water? Do I accept what comes with it? May it be so. Amen. Let's take just a moment of quiet reflection. As we come to prayer this morning, we are ever so mindful of the needs of our world, our need to pray for world leaders, to an end of all violence, violence in every form, and that peace may prevail in our world. We pray for our country. We pray for our nation's leaders, for our regions, for our states, and our local communities. We pray for those leaders as well as our own church right here, and our own church leaders. We pray for those who are sick and need our prayers, those who have requested them. And of course, we remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts, known only to us and to God. And may God be with you. Please pray with me. Holy God, whose Spirit moved over the waters at the dawn of creation, hear our prayers for all who thirst today. We pray for those who are spiritually thirsty, who long to know your presence, but don't know where to find you. We pray for those who are alone and without hope, those who long to feel needed and loved, and those who are searching for meaning and purpose. We pray for all those who are physically thirsty, who don't have enough water to drink or feed their animals, whose fields are parched, whose crops have withered, those who have to walk long distances to find enough water to survive, and those who have to be content with water that is unclean. We pray for those whose homes and villages are torn apart because of drought or famine. We pray for those who are thirsty for justice, who long for an equal sharing of resources among peoples and nations, those who put their lives at risk to protect streams and rivers and oceans, those who are working to find clean water and make it available to those who need it. O healing river, pour down your waters and heal your people. God, we ask that you would open our hearts to the needs of all who thirst. Give us courage to work together for justice, to stand alongside those who are thirsty, so that all people everywhere may live without want or fear, and may discover the abundant life you promise to each one. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of living water, we pray. Amen. My friends, we are called to live in hope, invited to abide in joy. Let us share the blessings we have so richly received from God. With this, our morning offering will now be received.
Receive our grateful hearts for your many blessings. Transform these gifts we bring today into Christ's promise of living water for the world. Bathe those who are touched by today's offering in your goodness and grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Springs of our God. Amen.